So anyways, I wanted to share a little bit about a few verses on knowing God's way and just seeking for his direction in our lives, and a little bit of personal experience in here as well, and just some of the ways that the Lord has sort of led me and different ways that it unfolded. And I just thought maybe it could be an encouragement to others, and perhaps when you come into the situation, you could be reminded of these things. So let's start in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, Paul shares a couple of times in the early chapters about the trials that they were going through in Asia, and I thought a couple of things were interesting as I read them, as I stood out to me on this topic. Actually, I'm going to change it. Let's start actually in 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body." And so as I read this passage, and as I tie it to sort of something I'm going to share with you in just the previous chapters in 2 Corinthians, the thing that stood out to me here is that the Apostle Paul, who was mature in his faith, had walked and had learned to hear from the Lord, had God speak to him in supernatural ways sometimes with, I don't know, some of you probably remember, he had a dream one time of people in Macedonia saying, come over here to us and come share the gospel with us. And so Paul was a individual who was mature in his faith and had learned to walk and step in the leading of the Spirit, and yet he said that in his walk there was times of affliction, and they were not crushed. And most importantly to me on this topic, there was times of being perplexed, but not despairing. And I thought about that and was like, you know, that's interesting, because I was just thinking for myself, as I seek to know the Lord's way and seek to have his direction in my life, there definitely is times of perplexity. There's times of trying to figure things out and understand God's way. And this is where it's personal. I can say there's times where I think I've heard and I got the direction, and then all of a sudden I'm like second guessing. I'm like, well, maybe this isn't it. And things come and I get a little shaken. And I think even as I look back in my walk, at times where the Lord has clearly led me and given me direction, I can think of one time, I'll be honest, in getting to know Maddie and just how all that unfolded, because I had heard about her through a friend before I even met her, and somebody had sort of said that I should be praying about maybe she could be my wife. And so as I prayed about it, I can say in hindsight, I can see the Lord's hand leading me all the way through it. And it can be like, I could almost tell you, if I wasn't really thinking back honestly about how it happened, I would tell you, yeah, it was clear. God directed me and he led me. And he did do that. In hindsight, God's direction through that time was clear. But if I look and actually recall what it felt like, it still felt like weakness. It still felt like not being able to rely on myself. It wasn't like, I know, everybody get out of my way, this is the direction I'm going. It was much more like, God, I think this is your direction. Please help me. Please keep me. Please show me. Please direct me. And that's how it felt to me. And I'm not saying in our walk, sometimes there may come a time in our walk where God gives us just crystal clear direction, and maybe there's going to be persecution or difficulty, and so he just makes it really clear to us, so we got to walk. And I'm not denying the Lord can speak to us that way, but in my heart this morning, it was more the memory of being perplexed but not despairing, or having a still small voice speaking, but having to learn to trust, having to learn to rely on God and not on ourselves, and having a sense of weakness, even as we have to walk things out, even as we have to seek the Lord's direction, having a sense of weakness, and that isn't necessarily unbelief or that sign that we're not in his plan. It could just be, in fact, that God is trying to show us his ways and allow us to hear from him by silencing our own strength, by silencing our own selves and all of our ideas and our plans, and come to a place where we really need to rely on him. And so let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I think there's going to be something here that ties to that. It says in chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who did deliver us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, that he will yet deliver us." And I was just reading that and thinking in that sense of perplexity, but not despairing. And as we seek the Lord's will for our lives, and as the Lord brings us into different seasons where we have maybe decisions to make or things that we're finding perplexing with a child, with something we have to deal with in ourselves, or just like I said, with decisions, I think it's good to remember that, you know what, maybe God's bringing me into a place where I am learning to not trust in myself, but in God who raises the dead. And I'll be honest, at times I'll just say, even practically speaking, I think you guys know I'm looking for a job, right? Because my company's shutting down or whatever. And as I've gone through this experience, I've had times where I've had supreme confidence. I've just been like, I'll be honest, I feel like I've had, like, I think I'm good at what I do. I'm reliable and people should hire me, and you're going to be making a good decision to hire me. And it's, when you're going through a process of interviews and stuff, it can feel nice to be in that state of mind because you're quite confident and you're just all ready for whatever comes and whatever. But there's been other times where I've felt much more uncertainty and less confidence. And I would say I was partially questioning. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, this can't be God's way, because I like the confident feeling. I like sort of knowing I can handle this and that it's all going to work out okay. And it's good to know that God's going to use it for good. But I could say that my vision of why it was all going to work out okay was because I was confident in myself. I was like, you know what? I bring a lot to the table here. This is going to work out fine. And then all of a sudden there's times where I'm feeling a little weaker. I'm feeling like, you know, God, like, economy's not that great right now. Like, what if nobody does want to hire me? And you know, like, there's not a ton of offers. Like, some things have come along, but then there's quiet spells where nobody's reaching out to me to say, hey, would you like to interview with us? And all of a sudden I'm starting to feel some of that uncertainty and some of that questioning. And at times I'm like, okay, maybe I'm lacking faith. But I came back and read these verses and I was like, you know what, Lord? Maybe it's about me not trusting in myself. Maybe this is about you saying, you know what, Joel? I am going to use this for good. I am going to provide for your family. And this is going to work out in the end. But there's some lessons to be learned in all of this where I have to learn a little bit not to trust in myself, not to rely on my strength. And it's okay to be good at something. It's okay to know we have skills and have some element of having an actual right concept of what we can do and present that to people in my scenario. But in my situation, I was saying, you know what, I think this may be a situation where God is saying, you know what, Joel, I'm going to allow a little perplexity here. I'm going to allow a little uncertainty. I'm going to allow things to not go exactly as you would have planned it. Or quite frankly, now I'm in a situation where there's just competing things and I'm uncertain. And all of a sudden, I can say that inside of my heart, the Lord's using it to draw me near to him. He's saying, like, I just feel in my heart, like, I need to be casting off distraction. I need to be seeking the Lord because I need his help. I don't know. Like, this is not going to unfold in some simple, straightforward manner like I would have hoped. This is going to require me to seek the Lord, and I need him to help me. And I just was realizing in all of this, some of this perplexity and some of this uncertainty is actually something, you know what? I should be thankful for this. I should be thankful for this because God is going to use it to allow me to strip away a little trusting in myself and cause me to learn to trust in him. Because what does it say in the next verse here? He is going to deliver me. And Paul and the individuals here had a far greater trial where their lives were being threatened and they were feeling they might not even survive. Mine's just a little work thing. But all that being said is we do have to remember that he has delivered us. And that's what I remember, even as I said, when I shared about the uncertainty and sort of going through the situation with Maddie, as I look back on that, I'm like, you know what? He delivered me. He gave direction. He guided the way. He cleared the path before me. I can see all the ways that he helped me. But it's good not to forget that in the midst of it, it didn't feel that way. In the midst of it, it felt uncertain. It felt testing. It felt trying. And I was crying out for the Lord once at that time again. I was crying out for his direction and for his help. And it's good to remember that. But we can look back and say, you know what? He did deliver me. And you know what? He is going to deliver me in this current situation. There is going to be an answer. He is going to direct my steps. He is going to use it for good. And I can say that with confidence. But it doesn't mean I'm going to sit here and know exactly how it's going to be or have a crystal clear path lighting in front of me. It's maybe there's going to be some uncertainty and maybe there's going to be some bumps. But you can, I can say with certainty that he will deliver me. He will use this for good. And it is going to be for my good. And he's going to accomplish more than just getting me a job through it. There's going to be more than that. It's going to be a work in my heart through it. And what's more, he will yet deliver me. He will deliver me when the next time comes. The next time I go through uncertainty or feel perplexed or feel crushed or afflicted, he will deliver me again, because that's what he does for us. But it's good to remember, and for me it was that I was remembered that when I feel this perplexity, when I feel this, it says I don't, like, the temptation is to despair, or the temptation is to get discouraged or feel sorry for ourselves. And rather, we should say no. The testimony is that Paul shared that by the Spirit, he was perplexed but not despairing. And why was that? Because he was realizing just the treasure that God was giving him was in an earthen vessel. The earthen vessel in chapter 4, verse 7, speaks to weakness. It speaks to knowing human frailty. It speaks to knowing that it's not of ourselves. And if God has to do some shaking, if God has to do some work to help us realize that we can't rely on ourselves, we need to rely on him, he's going to do that because he wants to have his power come into our life. He wants to have the light of the gospel and of the Holy Spirit shine out through our lives. He wants to fill us up with that treasure. But if we're going to get filled up with that treasure, it's going to come with realizing, you know what? I can't rely on myself. I need to not place my confidence in myself. I need to not place my confidence in what I bring to the table, but rather place myself in my confidence in God. And I need to allow God to allow me to take me through situations that I might not enjoy, that might be difficult to me, but rather know that in the midst of it, I'm not going to be crushed. I can trust him. He has delivered me. He will yet deliver me. And he's doing this so that his life can be manifested in us. It says, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus can be manifested in our body. And then if you go to the end of the chapter in verse 16, Paul says, in verse 16, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. And this is not about decisions here. In Paul's case here, he's talking a little bit about his physical body and the sufferings of the afflictions that have come upon him. But I think it can apply the same way, that whether it's decisions or whether it's a physical infirmity that the Lord's allowed, Paul says, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That's why we don't lose heart. That's why I can look at this situation and give thanks. And I don't want to paint it too bleak, because quite frankly, I have so much to be thankful for even in it. But I'm not going to be honest. I'm not going to deny that at times it's been challenging to me. And so what do I say? I say, I do not lose heart, because in all of this, God is renewing my inner man. That's his purpose in all of this. That's when we come into these difficulties, whether it's a decision or something else, what does God want to do in it? He wants to teach us not to rely and trust in ourselves. He wants to teach us that, you know what, we're just earthen vessels that he wants to fill up with his glory and with his treasure. And he wants us to realize that we can be renewed inwardly day by day in the midst of the difficulty. And I can say it's happening for me personally, and I suspect everyone here, if you've been through some of these trials and sought the Lord through it, the renewing does come. He does renew us. He does strengthen us in the midst of it. But it comes often with first seeing our own weakness, or it comes often first with seeing some failure in ourselves. And then all of a sudden we're realizing, I can't trust in myself. I need to find the Lord's help. I need to find the Lord's direction. And then we can say, for this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. My old job situation and whatever other afflictions that others may be going through, that's a temporary thing. Like it's something I need to give some attention to and I need to provide for my family. But this is temporary. What God wants to do with it, and what's far more important, is the eternal, is the unseen things of God working in my heart through it, producing more of his glory, allowing me to die to myself a little more and have a little confidence in myself eroded so that I'm having to place my confidence and trust in him. Because if he can do it, right? Some of us are very strong in our nature and others are weaker and have an easier time perhaps falling on the Lord and asking for help. But he needs to bring each of us to a place where we realize that he is our strength, that we need our help from him, that we need his wisdom. We don't need our wisdom. We need his wisdom, and we need his direction in our lives. And he wants us each to come to a place where we're walking in dependence on him. As Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. I can do nothing of myself. And we have to learn that these situations that God brings us into, and sometimes when they're a bit difficult and a bit painful, he's bringing us to a place where we trust in him. We start to say, I can't do this on my own, and I need your help, Father. And I want to have, I'm not going to look at this affliction and think it's some sort of thing that I need to complain about, but rather realize that you're working through it. You want me to have a little bit more of death to myself and a little bit more of your life manifested. You want to produce something eternal through this temporary difficulty, through this temporary trial. You want to produce something eternal, have an eternal way to glory through these minor situations, or major for some. But that's what his plan is. And so I was just encouraged by that as I was reminded of it, encouraged by it as you start to, these things are helpful, especially maybe you're not going through this right now, and that's fine, praise God. But if you are, or when you do, all of these things, all of a sudden, these truths can become a lot more real and a lot more encouraging when we feel that perplexity, when we feel that affliction. All of a sudden, you can cling to these truths and rely on them and be reminded on them, because I know it from experience, because I wasn't clinging to these truths months ago, maybe, but all of a sudden I'm relying on these things when I'm experiencing some of the uncertainty and some of the less trusting in myself. So I'm just going to close in Isaiah chapter 30. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, there's an often quoted verse about the Lord's direction and a promise of direction, which is wonderful. But I thought it was interesting, the verse that came before it, because I would say that until I had read it recently or in the last weeks here, I didn't know the verse that came before it. So let's start in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20, where it says, although the Lord has given you the bread of privation and the water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the left, to the right, or to the left. And I went to this verse just to encourage myself originally on just the fact, the promise that we will hear the Lord. We will have his guidance, as it says in verse 21. But I thought it was interesting when it tied it to the verse before that says there was a bread of privation. There was some difficulty, some suffering there. There was waters of oppression that came, and it said the Lord had given it to them. The Lord had given them this suffering. And when we're in trials, we can realize, you know what? The Lord is giving some of these trials. He's allowing these things to do something in our lives. But the promise that was so encouraging, what comes out of it, is it says, after the time when we're going through the trials, what he wants to do, he wants to have it be that our teacher will no longer hide himself, but our eyes will behold our teacher. Our eyes will behold behold Jesus, behold his nature, be able to see what he's doing, be able to get a better understanding of his ways and how he's working and what he's wanting to do in us through the difficulty. Our eyes can, we can start to all of a sudden see a little more clearly what he wants to be doing in our lives. All of a sudden we'll have a little clear glimpse of that which is unseen, because it says we don't look at what is seen, but we look at that which is unseen. And that's what it's talking about here, where all of a sudden we go through the difficulty and all of a sudden we come through and our eyes behold our teacher. All of a sudden we see Jesus leading us. We see our Heavenly Father guiding us through these circumstances. And in hindsight, it can seem very clear, but when you're in the midst of it, it doesn't feel that way. Oftentimes it doesn't feel that way. And then the conclusion is, as you walk through these difficulties, it says your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. And that's what I was crying out for. I was like, Lord, show me your way. Show me the path I need to walk in these temporary decisions I need to make and some of these things that are in front of me. Show me the path. And I want your direction. I want to hear your voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it. Well, that comes through being willing to be suffer, willing to be perplexed, willing to learn not to trust in ourselves and draw near to our Father for direction and to have him guide us and just say, Lord, is there things that are hindering? Is there things in my life that are blocking me from hearing you? Because if there are, I want them out. I don't want my ears plugged up, unable to hear you because I'm distracted by other things or because I'm chasing other things or because I'm trusting in myself. And all of a sudden we start to pray some pretty sincere prayers. Because we want the Lord's direction, we want his help, and all of a sudden he begins to work and begins to help us see that he's going to give us his direction, but also do a change in us that allows his glory to be to pour more treasure into our lives. So anyways, that's just what I wanted to share. Hopefully it can be encouragement, come to mind when it's needed for each of you as we go through these difficulties.